Mindset Transformations Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna. Do you feel the need to do more with your life? Are limiting beliefs holding you back from true success? Enjoy a unique blend of interviews, discussions, and transformation coaching in every show. Get the tools for success. The Mindset Transformation Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna.
Welcome to the Transform Your Mind radio show and podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we are speaking again to Dawn Paris, PhD. Dawn spoke to us last week regarding radionics and his device, the SE5. Now, I brought Dawn back again because we did not get to electromagnetic pollution the last time, so we are having a segment two, and tonight we are going to be talking about how is electromagnetic pollution affecting our lives and what we can do about it. So Dawn, welcome again.
Thanks so much, Myrna. It was so exciting last time, and we had so much to talk about that I've been thinking about it since then, and I really wanted to continue our conversation, but I'm thinking maybe we should kind of bring people a little bit up to speed where we left off in case they didn't hear the last podcast.
True, exactly. So let me just give them a little bit of your background before we do that. Yes, and if you can kind of bridge it, that will be perfect. So let me tell you a little bit more about Dawn. Dawn Paris, PhD, is a published author, speaker, video producer, and musician. His book, Regaining Wholeness Through the Subtle Dimensions, has been published internationally in German, Spanish, Japanese, Portuguese, and English. He is known as the guru of the SE5, the world's most respected subtle energy instrument. He is well-loved for his style of bringing challenging concepts into an easy-to-understand language and has been a popular speaker at the Global Science Congress, the Congress of Spiritual Sciences, and the United States Psychotronics Association. He has created the most detailed explanation of the principles of radionics and the most advanced training courses in the entire field. He began exploring the subtle dimensions in the early 70s, and has now trained people in over 30 countries around the world in the workings of radionics and subtle dimension realities. Dawn was awarded an honorary doctorate degree in human sciences from the International University of Vitological Sciences in Stockholm, Sweden, in 2000 for his work with the SE5 and subtle energies. He and his wife, Alona Selke, who work as a team, have contributed to radio and TV shows and have been quoted in numerous publications around the world. They teach seminars in quantum psychology in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. When not traveling to teach, they divide their times between their homes in the Pacific Northwest and Bali. In his work, Dawn has dedicated himself to bridging the barrier of the physical boundaries to the subtle dimensional realities. Awesome. Great bio. I hope I learned tonight about the subtle dimensional realities, because we didn't get into that. And I would like to know what that is the last time. So in our first episode, Dawn, you took us through an in-depth understanding of the history of radionics. So tonight I would like to start by asking the question, how does the field of radionics affect your specialty, subtle dimensions? Like I said, I want to understand that right off the bat. So maybe you can bridge your audience to, you know, what we talked about the last time. I know you went into a lot of details about how radionics was introduced into the East, into the Western culture, and things like that. So maybe tonight you can just tell us what it is.
Yeah. That is, yeah, and that's a difficult question to answer, I agree, because it is such a broad vast field to try to figure out. We don't really know what it is. We're all poking around a little bit in the dark as humans, trying to understand this other dimension, because we're primarily three-dimensional creatures here, running around with our eyes and our nose and mouth. And this other dimension it's more of a spiritual dimension. That's the best way that I could describe it. It's non-physical. So since it's non-physical, we're attempting to use our physical senses to try to understand something that's non-physical. And I think we're making a lot of headway in that way. Radio waves are non-physical. They're not really here in the physical realm.
Right.
And yet we've learned how to understand them enough to be able to utilize them, to communicate with each other, to see pictures across the world, to detect objects underwater. I mean, it's just amazing what we've been able to do with some of these frequencies that are invisible. And likewise, these subtle energy fields are invisible. They're not something that's directly tangible. Like, for example, with acupuncture. According to acupuncture medicine, we have these energy streams. They're like little rivers of energy that run up and down our body, and they've been able to identify them, like the heart meridian or the kidney meridian, and they call them that because they're related to certain aspects of those organs. But these lines of energy go up and down the entire body. And so the Chinese figured out many, many, many thousands of years ago that if these rivers get blocked, these rivers of energy, these subtle energies, if they get blocked, the blockages will cause disease in the physical body. So these non-physical energies, these subtle energies, invisible energies, actually have effect in the physical world. And so they found out different ways. Acupuncture is one of the ways, where they put a needle where the blockage is. And that can actually be tested now with a little resistance meter. They put a little bit of electricity in and find out where the blockage is. You can actually test it with a little device now. They put a needle or electrical stimulation in that point, and then the energy frees up and it starts flowing again, just like taking the logs out of a small stream that the beavers started damming up. You know, you take those out and the river flows and there's water downstream.
Right.
To feed the plant.
Yeah, I heard a story, and I don't think it was in our last episode, but it could have been, because we talked about a lot of stuff. And sometimes I never know, I don't remember where the source is, but it's in my brain.
Sure.
But I heard a story that someone was able to witness a heart surgery with no medication or no anesthesia, just using acupuncture. You're not the one that told that story, right?
I didn't tell you that, but I've heard many of those stories. They've done brain surgery, they've done heart surgery, and they basically can stop the electrical currents, if you will. But they're really using the subtle energy currents. Mm-hmm. We would think of them as electrical, to stop the pain receptors from feeling that, just like a drug can also do that. An anesthetic will stop the electrical flow or block that. They've done amazing things. I've had a lot of acupuncture in my life, and I've always been amazed by how much better I feel. And when the energy's flowing, I can feel it, you know. I think the blockages are more difficult to feel because they come on kind of slowly, and then we just don't feel good anymore, or we actually feel sick or pain, but we can't really isolate it. But once that energy blockage is released, like with acupuncture, for example, you can really feel that. You know, there's a real difference. Yeah.
All right. So now I'm understanding what subtle energies are. You're talking about the energy that makes up the body.
Right.
Or the because we are non-physical beings having a physical experience. That's the word, right? So the subtle energies that you're talking about. Right. So the subtle energies we're talking about is the subtle energies in our body. Great. Okay.
that's the first step, right? Just to understand that, you know, like we have meridians, for example, but we also have what we call chakras from the Indian perspective.
Right, right.
And they're, they're very interconnected. I mean, they have very similar perspectives, a little bit different way of looking at it. They call these energy lines in the body the nadis, and they're governed by this, by the seven major chakras, and then there are also minor chakras.
Yes, you are a meditator, and you're a high level meditator. So yeah, so yeah, clearing. I mean, I do a lot of chakra meditations, and basically, what you're doing, yeah, you're trying to open them up and have them flow. But yeah, so you're right. Probably very perfect at doing that because that's what you do.
Well, I've practiced a lot of times, but also that's one thing that we can use radionics for. Because it interfaces at that level very easily at the non-physical level. And so we can actually measure the strength of the chakras, find out if there are any blockages, and then we can correct those blockages or free up that energy. Same thing with the meridian. With the radionics, we don't have to use a needle, and we can actually do that at a distance and send the corrective information to get the energy to unblock in the meridian or in the chakras, and you get the same effect as doing a chakra meditation or using an acupuncture needle. I had one acupuncturist, this was 25 years ago, he was an acupuncturist and a homeopath, and he found the SE5, and he threw away his needles. He found out that he didn't need to use needles to unblock these meridians anymore. He could test them and find out where the blockage was. And the person could be 100 miles away, and it didn't matter.
That's where it gets really interesting. Yeah, well, you told a story last time. I mean, it's coming back to me now. You told a story of this gentleman that would tap on people's stomach, and he was able to use the sound to diagnose their diseases. So something
Albert
similar
Abel.
Like that, what you're talking about, right? Okay.
That was the very beginnings of it, and then it, of course it evolved over you know decades and decades to where, of course now it's high level technology, where we can tune into these subtle energy fields with the SE5, and the person can be anywhere on the planet. It doesn't even matter where they are, and then they can we can find out in real time if there are any blockages. And if those blockages need to be corrected, and then we can actually send corrective frequencies back to correct those blockages or unblock those blockages.
Wow. All right. Well, maybe this is a good point to talk about because we didn't get to that either. So your SE5, what is it?
Well,
I mean, you give us a little example a minute ago. It's a device that you can trace blockages, right? Is that what it does?
For example, we really refer to it as an instrument because it's more like it's not as much of a device as it is like a musical instrument. You learn how to work together with it, and it's a bit of an art form. You've heard of dowsing before, right? Like where they go and find water with the willow rod, for example.
Yes, I have heard of that.
Well, we found a way to amplify that process, and
I think you talked about that. Yes, you talked about that last time.
Okay, good. Yeah. So we have a
rubbing. Or somebody had a husband that they went and they found water. Right. Okay.
On the SE5, we have a rubbing plate, which is a very smooth piece of special material. It's a type of a plastic, but has a special coating on it. And then we have antennas underneath of that. And so as we change the amplitude strength of a particular, we call them a tuning frequency. So let's say, for example, we wanted to check your heart chakra, right? So I would put your photograph inside the instrument or a hair sample, and then I would look in the computer, because this is all, you know, stored in the computer. We have all 17,000 different frequencies we can choose from, but let's just say we chose the heart chakra frequency, and then I have an amplitude knob that goes from 0 up to 100%. So I want to check the percentage of how strong I'm picking up the signal from your heart chakra, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I start dialing down from 100% because that's the ideal state would be 100%. If your heart chakra was open and flowing and the energy's, you know, doing what it's supposed to do, it'll read at 100%. So I start rubbing on the plate and I start dialing from 100% down, and I keep rubbing until what happens is we get like a dowsing response. The plate will get sticky and like draw our fingers down, sort of like the willow rod bends down. And then we can be very accurate to what the percentage reading is on your heart chakra. So if I went from 100 and it went down to like 78%, there's a pretty good amount of blockage that would not be free. The energy would be kind of bound up. So
well,
we would want
that, is that a disease, or is just that person is not doing their energy well? I'm not sure what the word is, but their energy is not flowing. Right.
Yeah, excellent question. So if the chakra starts shutting down, so I think of them as like energy transformers, sort of like a whirling disc that brings in cosmic energy from the cosmos. And what the purpose of the chakra is to convert that cosmic energy into physical energy that can be utilized by the organs. And that's why certain chakras, that each chakra has a relationship to different organs in the body. So if that chakra gets really shut down too much, and that could happen from trauma, it could happen from stress, it could happen from shock. You know, these are energy waves and environmental things. And electromagnetic frequencies at the wrong frequency might even shut down part of a chakra or some of a chakra. We've definitely seen that. And if it shuts down too much, it'll starve the organ because it won't get the cosmic energy it needs. It'll start starving the organ, and then actually dis-ease, uncomfort, or dis-ease will set into the organ.
Right. Yes, I've heard that too, right, before.
Right. And so the opposite is also true. So if, let's say, there's an organ that is related to the heart chakra, and that organ is having a problem from chemical poisoning or toxins or poisons or pests, parasites, whatever, then it'll start trying to draw more and more energy through the chakra, and that can actually cause the chakra to contract or get smaller because it's trying to pull too much energy through.
Energy from it. Okay.
Yeah, we're looking for balance in all this. So we can actually determine with the SE5, okay, is it primarily the organ that's trying to draw too much energy through the chakra, or is the chakra shut down and therefore it's not giving enough energy to the organs and the you know, all the different related organs?
Wow.
So once we determine that.
This is good stuff.
it's phenomenal, yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff, right. Okay.
So once we determine that, we can figure out which way to go. Do we need to balance the chakra, or do we need to balance the organs? And when I say balance the organs, we're balancing the subtle energy field of the organs. We're not balancing the organ. Obviously, we're not opening the body and trying
But I have a question. So this is all preventative. You know, we meditate, we open our chakras, we get the energy flowing, and we know that if it's flowing, then we have a good chance of not having disease, because stuck energy, you know, causes disease. So what happens if somebody is already, right, but if what happens if somebody is already diseased, how can this technology help, or it can't?
Well, I definitely think it'll help when you balance your chakras, for example, and let's say that the organs were in a diseased state and we figured out it's because the chakra was shut down, and you get the chakra to open back up, then the organs will naturally heal. It's sort of like feeding food to a starving dog, you know. You give them food, they get healthy, you know.
Okay.
Or vice versa. Even if the organ is a diseased organ from whatever problem it is, then It's pulling down on the chakra, and then so we balanced more on the organ side of it, the subtle energies of the organ.
Okay.
And the organs then will go into spontaneous healing. I mean, the SC5 okay. doesn't heal anything. The body
yeah,
heals
the energy.
Itself.
You're right, exactly. The energy and yes, all that.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
We have everything we need inside of our body to heal everything.
Heal.
It's just,
yeah.
But they get blocked. Those energies get blocked. Okay. And so you release the blockages and the body heals itself. That's how
wow.
I feel.
I'm very impressed by this technology. Now, in our last conversation, you mentioned as well that this technology is not readily accessible in the United States. Correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's used, but it, you know, the medical field is really focused on pharmaceuticals and
yes.
And there is some electromedicine, but mostly for testing and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's seeping in. Let's just say that it is starting to seep in. I see evidence
yeah.
of it.
Well, yeah, we're coming together because in 2 decades ago, or I think you said you started your work in the 70s or something, right? When
uh-huh.
you started, nobody was meditating in the West, and nobody was using acupuncture
right.
in the West. And now it's all merging. So it's coming. So this is great.
It is.
Almost
yeah.
everybody you talk to now is meditating. It's like
yeah,
the
exactly.
in thing.
I was teaching meditation classes in 1976 or 75.
Yeah, I know you said that. No, I've probably never heard of the word then.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so that's awesome. All right, so we've got a good start. Let's take our first break, and then
okay.
we're going to come back and get into our topic,
okay.
Electromagnetic pollution. All right,
okay.
So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Do you feel sick and medicine can't help you? Are other health practitioners giving you less than what you need? Or do you simply want your health improved? We are here to give you advice on your health and recovery. Our advice is experience-based and applicable for many symptoms that are not recognized in the majority of medicine systems. All you need to do is send us an email on bodyreadings@gmail.com. That is bodyreadings@gmail.com. Send us a description of the health issue in one page, and we will give you consultation services. And the best part is that our price is your donation. Disclaimer, all advices given are not medical and cannot diagnose, treat, or heal disease.
Having trouble getting a merchant account? Need an international payment gateway? Rejected by another merchant account provider? No problem. iPayTotal wants your business. Our high-risk merchant accounts allow you to accept all major credit and debit cards. Our Motto payment gateway allows accepting transactions on the phone. iPayTotal delivers payment solutions and products to help grow your business. Contact us now for your payment processing at info@iPayTotal.com or visit iPayTotal.com. www.ipaytotal.com, your online payments provider.
Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind radio show and podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today I am having a very interesting conversation with Dr. Dawn Paris. And in her first segment, Dawn talked to us about subtle energies and how they affect our bodies as far as in disease states when they're closed. We talked about the chakras. And he talked to us about his instrument, instead of device, his instrument called SE5 that is actually able to detect whether your chakras are open or whether your organs are being blocked or something. So that was very fascinating technology, and I hope that, you know, as we progress and evolve in the United States, that we'll be able to use or tap in to this technology in the mass quantities instead of, you know, seeping in as Don talked about. But now I want to get into our topic of today because I've been hearing a lot about it. John introduced it to me, and like anything, you know, in the brain, you see a red car, or you tell your brain about a red car, and you're going to see red cars everywhere. But I've actually listened to like two podcasts talking about electromagnetic pollution, and I don't want to steal your thunder, but you're talking about Wi-Fi. I started to put my phone into, you know, airplane mode, so I'm already primed for this stuff. So
awesome.
I know. So maybe what we can do first is talk about what is electromagnetic pollution, and then of course you can, you know, tell us how you know, your expertise and how we can, you know, get rid of them or lower them or whatever
okay.
you do to reduce them. I think that's probably the better word. Okay.
Yeah, at this point in life, we're not going to eliminate them
right.
completely, unless you want to move to West Virginia, because there's only one place that I know of that's completely electromagnetic free, and that is in Green Bank, West Virginia. And the
wow.
reason it's electromagnetic free is because they have this huge radio telescope there, and they don't want anything, like even a cell phone or any type of electromagnetic interference, otherwise they can't see what's coming in from the stars. So there are more and more people moving to Green
cool.
Bank, West Virginia, Green Bank, West Virginia, because they've become electromagnetically sensitive, and they can't even live in the cities anymore. I mean, this is a real phenomenon. So
okay.
they're, you know, I mean, Green Bank, West Virginia only has 143 people at last
mm-hmm.
count. It's a very, very small town, but more and more people are moving there because they've become electromagnetically sensitive. So what is that, and what is electromagnetics? Well,
okay.
Electromagnetics, you know, in the technical term, anytime electrons are moving, you know, from point A to point B, they create an electrical field, but they also create a magnetic field perpendicular to the electrical field. So we've got these two forces of nature running side by side, in a direction. It's called a vector from point A to point B. Well, some of these electromagnetic frequencies, the frequency is how fast it changes from in polarity, for example, from a positive to a negative, and in electrical sense, or magnetically from north to south pole, for example, that can oscillate also. So the faster that these frequencies oscillate, the shorter or smaller amounts distance becomes between the pulses, like we have in our electricity in America, we have 50 cycles per second, 60 cycles per second, whereas
okay.
Europe only has 50 cycles per second, which means the wave form goes up and down 60 times in a second, which is quite fast. I mean, I can't go, you know, I can't get my time
right.
to go that fast,
mm-hmm.
but it's a very fast pulse, whereas
okay.
like our brain waves actually emit electromagnetic signals. So when
okay.
we're sleeping, they go down into the 3 and 4 hertz range, which means hertz is it means cycles per second. So our brain waves are just going dot 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 dot. It's really slow. And then if we're in the daydreaming kind of level or watching television, it's kind of the same alpha. We call that the alpha brainwave.
I was going to ask you about that because that's the one you're supposed to meditate in, right?
Yeah, there are different ways to meditate, but that's one way, is to slow your brainwaves
okay.
down.
Okay.
Now,
mm-hmm.
We could go on a whole show about that one, but in meditation, and maybe we'll do that sometime. That would be
right.
fun.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. Sure.
But electromagnetically, then we have the basic brainwave states. We have delta, which is deep sleep, down from, you know, 0 to 4 hertz or so. And then we have the theta state from 4 to 8, approximately. And then we have the alpha state from 8 to 12. And then we have the beta state, which is waking consciousness like we're in right now, from 12 to up
okay.
to 22 or something like that, depending on how awake you are. And now
okay.
they've discovered, and that going back to meditation, there mm-hmm. are meditators that can go into it. Now they've come up with a new term called gamma, because they can get their brainwaves up to like 44 hertz. And
oh, wow.
they're in this hyper state of consciousness. It's a hyper awareness state. So it's even more awake than we're awake right now.
I thought the object was to go lower, not higher.
Well, okay. in the beginning, it's good to practice going lower, so that basically what we want to do is learn how to control and go wherever we want. That's what really it's all about.
Okay.
And the real high awakened states, they are really more in the higher gamma frequencies.
Okay.
So it's just different types of meditation, and, you know, there's all different approaches.
Okay.
But like transcendental meditation, for example, they work on slowing the brainwave state down into the alpha range, or Silva Mind Control also uses the alpha state. It's really some of the real high-level meditation. Some of the Buddhist monks from Tibet, for example, they've been able to get into these higher hyper states of up to 44 hertz.
Wow. Okay.
So an electromagnetic frequency is an actual wave form that we've learned how to harness for our use. For example, electricity at 60 hertz, we can light up light bulbs and turn on our computer and make an amplifier to make the sound for our stereo louder. We can do a lot of things with it.
Okay.
And for many, many, many years, from the invention of electricity until just about even 30, 40 years ago, we didn't really have too much. We had radio waves. We had television waves, which are still quite low frequencies comparatively to what we're doing now with all these cell phones and Wi-Fi and all that. But our cells in our body have been accustomed to what's called the Schumann resonance frequency, which is the Earth's brainwave. It has its own brainwave, and it runs approximately what used to be measured at 7.8 hertz, but it's been drifting. The frequency of the Earth, some people think it's waking up, that Gaia is waking up because its brainwave has gone up.
I was going to use that word. I'm learning so much from all this stuff. I was going to say Gaia. Okay, that's what you call the Earth. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That Mother Earth is waking up, and they've measured it as high as like 11 and 12 hertz, which is, you know, getting into beta consciousness, like awakened state. If we were people, you know, if the Earth was a person,
right.
Maybe she's waking up. But our cells have oriented themselves to those really slow frequencies. Our cells are also electrical transmitters and receivers, and they've accustomed themselves to these low frequencies for millennia.
Yeah. Forever. Is it our cells or is it our nervous system?
Both. Everything. Our nervous system is also very electrical. But our cells, reproduction, all these different things, the flow of the blood cells and the assimilation of nutrients and the elimination of toxins, all of that is related to some electrical impulses from our brain.
To make it work, right? Yes, got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
And in the last 30 to 40 years, there's been this just plethora of frequencies that have been invented and started to be put into use between cell phone towers, Wi-Fi. Now they have smart meters. And in conjunction with already floating around electromagnetic fields from computers and light bulbs and
microwaves,
normal electrical lines, microwave ovens, all of these radiations they're starting to mix together. And they've actually observed, they have certain type of equipment where they can, you can look on a type of like an oscilloscope, but higher end, and look at these frequencies. And these frequencies are starting to combine and hold on to each other and start, they're like rolling around the cities. They're like, it's almost like this, we've created something that we don't really even know what it is anymore.
I can just just picture a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
with a sci-fi yep. movie with something rolling around
exactly.
and eating up people as it rolls.
it is a phenomenon. So now, you know, it started out kind of simply with cell phones, and they started with 2G, 2 gigahertz, and that's still pretty high, but they keep raising these frequencies because we want faster speeds, we want internet on our phone, we want to watch movies on our phone, and they keep going higher and higher in frequency.
Okay.
Now, here's the principle. The lower the frequency, the further it will travel, generally speaking. As you get into higher frequencies, the distance that it will travel away from the source gets shorter and 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 shorter. To where now, this new thing they're rolling out is called 5G. And I'm sure people, the audience, has already heard about it. But in order to make it work, you know, before we had 4G and 3G and 2G, well, those came mostly from cell phone towers. And the towers are pretty far spaced apart. You know, you could put one on a hillside and another one on a hillside and get the signal from A to B. Well, 5G can't do that. It just can't make it very far at all. It's just, we're talking 100 meters or 200 yards that it can go.
So now they have to put more towers. Wow.
Everywhere. So that's something you can start to look out for, are these little, they kind of like a little cone-shaped thing. They're sticking them on telephone poles, and they even want to put them on every house or every third house. They were talking about doing that in Germany and putting them on every third house, and everybody went up in arms about it, saying, well, you know, we can't do that. We can't have these things right on our house. But that's where it's headed. They want to actually have one in every home. And the thing is, you know, there's a slight possibility that it's not dangerous, but they really haven't been tested. There's no long-term testing on these, and any testing that has been done by the same people that are selling them. So
right, of course. You just talked about the drug manufacturers. You know, they're all in it for themselves. But what I heard is that when you have like one Wi-Fi, maybe it's not as dangerous, but they're talking about you give a nice visual of a ball that's just, you know, collecting and just rolling. But the person I was listening to saying, like, you know, when, for instance, he's talking about when all the Wi-Fi come together. For instance, if you open your phone, then you're only not going to see your Wi-Fi. You're going to see the neighbor's Wi-Fi as well. And if you're in an apartment complex and you've got hundreds of these things,
20
that
hours,
is when, right. That is when the problem comes, when there's just so much. Is that what you're saying as well?
That as well, exactly, is that all these frequencies, and it's confusing ourselves. I mean, I did this test with a woman in Bulgaria, and she had a dark field microscope. And I'll try and send you these pictures, and maybe you can put them in to the podcast.
Okay.
So she took a little spot of her blood and put it under the microscope and looked at her red blood cells. And she wasn't in the healthiest of states to begin with. So they're a little bit kind of close together and on top of each other to begin with. And if you healthy cells should have space around each cell. It should have a little space around it so that it can absorb nutrients, excrete toxins, and do its work.
Okay.
Hers were a little bit clumpy. But then I had her make a 10-minute cell phone call. And, I mean, I hope these pictures come out. They're just completely clumped together, kind of like those balls of frequencies. These cells are trying to protect themselves, and they're all hiding together to try and stop this invasion. And and it's scary to see what happens after 10 minutes on a cell phone. I mean, I was shocked. I didn't know it would do that. I just thought maybe, you know, we should do an experiment.
And for years they've been telling you, at least they've been telling, I've been hearing about it, that you shouldn't put the cell phone to your head. And I do it all the time. And now they're saying that you should use the,
headset.
Your headset, right. Instead of putting the, they've been saying that they actually were saying that for about 20 years now. But
yeah.
It's probably, you know, nobody paid attention. At least I didn't. But now what you're saying is, yeah, especially now that the frequencies are getting higher, the megahertz are getting higher. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, gigahertz. Hmm. Gigahertz, even gigahertz. Higher than megahertz. But, yeah,
wow.
if you read in your your little instruction booklet that you got with your phone, and you go down in the fine print and you look under the warnings, they say don't put this any closer than, like, I think three quarters of an inch close to your head. It's in the instructions.
Wow.
Why? They don't say, well, because it's putting out microwaves and microwaves cook meat, and your head is basically meat.
I just started using my headsets. I was always just putting the phone in my ear. My goodness.
Yeah.
I've been using phones for 20 years too. Wow. Yes.
Wow.
But that's why we have, this podcast, and that's why because people learn. It's all about building your awareness. So we've talked about a lot of stuff. We talked about meditation. We've talked about chakras being blocked. Now we're talking about, electromagnetic radiation. So, So I'm going to ask you another thing. So they've also been saying for the longest while that microwave is bad. But who's going to stop using microwave? Is the microwave really bad? That's really not an electromagnetic. That's radiation or something, right? What is a microwave?
No, microwave is basically just a high frequency. It's just like your cell phone. It's just a higher frequency of electricity or a wavelength. It's not... We call it radiation. It's a little confusing. There's ionizing radiation and non-ionizing radiation. And ionizing radiation is what we get from a nuclear blast or a nuclear power plant. That's very different from non-ionizing radiation, which is what your microwave and your cell phone do. And so obviously you don't want to have your head in a microwave, right? I mean, everybody knows that. Right?
Well, we know that, but can you put your food in it and then eat the food? Is that bad for you?
Well, let's go one step backwards first. So we all know not to put our head in a microwave oven, and yet we take a cell phone that's emitting microwaves and we put it right on our head.
Right. Got you. Got you.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay, and then what happens to the food when you put food in a microwave and you heat it up with higher frequencies or lower frequencies, like infrared, for example, our stove is putting out heat and a lot of infrared frequencies, which are much, much, much lower in frequency. I haven't used a microwave oven. I've never had one. I read those warnings way back when, and, I think I used one to heat some water, but I personally don't want to eat food that's been in a microwave oven. I think I did taste one. My mom used to use one once in a while, and it didn't taste good. I could taste the difference. So it must be doing something to the food, but I couldn't nail it down.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't. I don't like to eat food that's in a microwave, but I warm my food up every night in a microwave. So,
well, it's kind of the same thing, yeah. So
right.
You know what they're really good for? What I really like microwave ovens for is you can get these pillows, and they have cherry seeds in them, or sometimes they have millet in them, and they're really comfortable little kind of squishy pillows, and you can put them in the microwave and heat them up, and you put them behind your neck. That's really good. I like those. I like microwaves for that. But in terms of for cooking food, I don't know. I don't trust it. But
So what does it actually do? So let's back this up a little bit. So the microwave puts these frequencies in your food, and then you eat the food, and then what? Does it block your energy, or what does it do?
No, I don't think the energy stays in the food, but I do think it damages the cellular structure of the food and the proteins because it's such a high frequency. And so you're not going to get as much nutrition.
Got it. Right. Yeah.
That's what I
mean. All right. Okay.
But I'm not an expert in that realm.
Okay.
Maybe we should take a break. And then when I come back, I want to talk about some things that people can do to help prevent some of this exposure. Does that sound good?
Perfect, perfect. All right, so we'll be right back. Stay tuned, right back. Don't go anywhere, because now that we've opened this all up to you, you need to know what you can do. So be right back.
Do you feel sick and medicine can't help you? Are other health practitioners giving you less than what you need? Or do you simply want your health improved? We are here to give you advice on your health and recovery. Our advice is experience-based and applicable for many symptoms that are not recognized in the majority of medicine systems. All you need to do is send us an email on bodyreadings@gmail.com. That is bodyreadings@gmail.com. Send us a description of the health issue in one page, and we will give you consultation services. And the best part is that our price is your donation. Disclaimer, all advices given are not medical and cannot diagnose, treat, or heal disease.
Having trouble getting a merchant account? Need an international payment gateway? Rejected by another merchant account provider? No problem. iPayTotal wants your business. Our high-risk merchant accounts allow you to accept all major credit and debit cards. Our Motto payment gateway allows accepting transactions on the phone. iPayTotal delivers payment solutions and products to help grow your business. Contact us now for your payment processing at info@iPayTotal.com or visit iPayTotal.com. www.ipaytotal.com, your online payments provider.
Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind radio show and podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we are speaking to Dawn Paris, who is giving us so much good information. Everything changes once you're aware. They say a brain that's been expanded with knowledge can never go back. So now you know that putting the cell phone to your head is bad. Now you know that, you know, when you put your food in the microwave, that it damages the structure of the protein, so you're not getting much nutrition. So even if you continue to do it, which you probably will, you know the results, right? So, but now Dawn is going to talk to us about, you know, I mentioned that now, because I've become aware of all the Wi-Fi and how bad it is. And, you know, I put my phone in, when I remember, in airplane mode at night. So what else can we do, Dawn, to reduce our, you know, our, what is the word?
Exposure.
Right, exposure, that's the word. Exposure right. To it, right.
Okay. Well, there are a lot of really simple things that people can do that don't cost any money. And then there are some fairly inexpensive things that people can do to invest a little bit of money. And then there's more expensive things, which, you know, like when people become more sensitive to this, they're going to want to probably actually put some investment into making their environment safer, or at least their own energy field in a more harmonious, balanced way. So let's start with the really simple things that people can do. So you already mentioned one is use your headset on your cell phone, okay? Number one. I mean, they say that there are still some microwave frequencies that will travel up the wires from the phone up to the headset, but it's still lowering the exposure a lot. So they've come up with now what's called the AirPhone, which actually has a tube, an air tube, that has a little tiny speaker in the tube. So the speaker is close to the cell phone. You plug it in, and it puts the sounds into a little speaker, and you hear it through the air, and that is really isolating you from the cell phone. But everybody got some kind of headset with their phone. So that they already, it's free. It's already with your phone. Use it, number one. Yeah. Or put it in speaker mode. You know, that's a touch of a button. That's free, too. another one that people can do is to turn their Wi-Fi router off at nighttime when they're sleeping. There's no reason to have it on. And the thing is with these frequencies is that they're, even though they're not visible frequencies, light is also a frequency. And so our pineal gland, which is in the center of our forehead, perceives light. And when it gets dark, then it, it signals the body to start producing melatonin, which basically puts us to sleep and puts us into the dream state. But these Wi-Fi signals are similar enough to light, even though they're invisible, that our pineal gland reacts to it and thinks that the light is still on. So it doesn't produce as much melatonin, and then people don't get the restful sleep that they really need. So if you turn off your Wi-Fi at night, then it's just unplugging it or flipping a switch, and it's free. Or you could even invest a little bit of money, buy a timer, and so by 11 o'clock at night or whatever time you need to go to bed,
turns it off. Right. Mm-hmm.
Turns it off. You stop working on your computer and you turn off your cell phones, and of course turn your cell phone off too, not just the Wi-Fi but the cell phone. Don't, you know, please, parents, do not let your children have their cell phones in their bedrooms at nighttime. These kids text until, you know, late at night and then put it under their pillow, and they sleep on these things. I mean, awaken. This is not
my
good.
Daughter does that.
Do not let
She's been doing it for years.
Yes.
She's been doing it for years. I got to talk to her about that. Right.
Okay.
Right.
So another thing that you can do is contact your electric company. And if you don't have a smart meter on your home, tell them that you don't want one, you never want one, and don't ever install one. If there is one installed, even if it costs, now sometimes the power companies charge you extra money to have the old-fashioned electric meter. It's worth the extra money if there's no other way around it. But these smart meters are 160 times stronger than a cell phone, and they put out the signal constantly. No matter what the electric companies tell you, that they only check once a day or something like that, it's not true. It's every 30 to 40 seconds. And these signals are it's like connecting your cell phone to the wires in your house. It's just, go to stopsmartmeters.org and educate yourself about it. It's just, you know, it's something that's going on. So we've got smart meters, we've got Wi-Fi, we've got cell phones. Those are things that you can do already. In terms of small investments, you can get a radiation blocking pouch for your cell phone. It's silver impregnated materials, and you put your cell phone in it, and it helps stop the frequencies from getting into your body. So if you're carrying it in your pocket or some of these women are putting it in their bra. Do not put the cell phone in your bra ever, please. I mean, these women, I've talked to doctors, and these women are coming in with square tumors in their breast, where they put their cell phone. I've talked to several doctors that have told me the same thing. Just stop doing it. Keep it in your purse. You know, it's not that far away. So these are, you know, they even make material that you can stick on that blocks the EMF coming in. So you can line your pocket with it, for example, on the inside of your jeans or your pants. And if you're keeping it in your pocket, put some blocking material in there if you don't have a pouch.
I heard you can also get the same radiation blocking case.
Yeah.
Not a pouch, but you can, you can get a case.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah, they've got all these things now. Just do some searching, Google it, and find out where you can get some of these things. But yeah, they're on the market and they're available. People are liking them and using them. I have all these different kinds of things because I do use a smartphone. Not a lot, but I do use it, and it's a handy thing. Of course, everybody loves their smartphone. But we've got to be wise about it. So then the next level up is to, you know, it's not even about you. It's not about your cell phone. It's not about your Wi-Fi. It's not about your smart meter. But it's in the environment everywhere, right? So we have no control over that. There's nothing we can do to your neighbor next door to tell him to turn off his Wi-Fi at night. Or if you're in an apartment building, they sometimes have, 20 smart meters, one right next to each other. So we've developed a small frequency generator that puts out bio-friendly frequencies. Like, for example, when the Russians first went up into space and they spent a little bit of time up in space, they came back. The astronaut was so weak they had to carry him from the spacecraft. He couldn't even walk. And they thought it was, you know, lack of exercise. I don't even think it was just one of those first flights. So it was just a couple days or something up there, one of the first longer flights. But what they found out was that he didn't have the Earth Schumann resonant frequency, this 8 hertz I was telling you about.
Okay.
And so the cells went crazy and didn't know how to orient themselves. And so the whole system almost shut down. So since then, they install these little, they call them Schumann resonant frequency generators on the spacecraft. And so when they go out in space, they still can tune into this resonant frequency of the Earth, even though they're out in space.
Okay.
And so that is one of the frequencies that's in our chi organizer. That's what we call it. The chi is the energy flow. That's the Chinese word for the, like prana or chi, this subtle energy that's running in our meridians. So we call it CHI is how it's spelled. Sometimes they spell it differently, but we spell it CHI, chiorganizer.com. That's where our website is. So we organize the chi in the body with a little frequency generator. And, of course, the Schumann resonance frequency is one of those frequencies. And then we actually have a little sweep generator that goes through other bio-friendly frequencies that are in nature. Like when lightning goes off, it has a burst of different frequencies, and we've tried to figure out which ones are beneficial to us and which ones are harmful. And these cell phone ones, like in that test we did with the cells, the dark field microscope, you know, they don't look very beneficial to our system. So we have these little generators, and, you know, a little plastic one is only a couple hundred dollars. I mean, it's still a couple hundred dollars, but it's pretty cheap compared to a cell phone these days. And so it puts out these bio-friendly frequencies in a cycle. It sweeps through them in a circle about 30,000 times per day. So if you keep this closer to your body, then it helps drown out the other signals or gives the cells a place to reorient themselves back to the bio-frequency. It doesn't block anything. It's not blocking these frequencies, but it gives the cells a homing signal, and so that they can go about and do their work of accepting nutrition and excreting the toxins and do their daily work. So we have all different levels of that, from a little tiny plastic one to one that does the whole house, to jewelry. We've even put it into some bracelets and necklaces that are absolutely gorgeous.
I've actually heard of that somewhere. Right. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. And there are a lot of different types of pendants. You'll hear a lot about scalar pendants and EMF blocking pendants or different materials that people wear. And some of them do work to a certain degree, but they're passive. They're not actually generating frequencies. They just help balance the field.
So yours does that, right? Okay. All right.
Ours is
organizer.
Active.
Right, chiorganizer.com. Right,
yeah.
I get that. Okay.
And it has, you know, it's actually a little battery-powered frequency generator that actually emits these frequencies out into the field. And then we've combined some of them with some radionics, so you can put in a programmed hologram, which we radionically programmed the hologram for different things, like balancing your chakras, for example.
Very important now, I know, understand. Right,
So we have like all different things that you can do with these holograms, like eliminating jet lag or improving memory or attracting love. You know, these are all frequencies.
Wow.
And so we've programmed them into the holograms. And so when you put them into the chi organizer, then it starts emitting that out into your auric field, and you feel it, you know, people feel it. It's really great.
Okay. That's awesome. All right. Well, we're about almost out of time. So you want to give us the last one that you can spend a lot of money on, and then you can tell us how we can – I know that you have a newsletter and stuff like that, so you can tell the audience how they can keep in touch with you to learn more of the fascinating stuff. Right? Okay.
Yeah. If they go to my website, I have a couple different websites, but the one like for the SE5 is SE dash with a minus sign, number 5.com. So it's easy to remember, se-5.com. sign up for my newsletter, and they'll get a bunch of different newsletters. Not, I don't overdo it, but I do send out occasionally, maybe four times a year, a newsletter to bring people up to speed on what's new and what's happening and things they can do for themselves to improve their health and their life. Or chiorganizer.com. I mean, the expensive ones are some of the jewelry, really. You know, we have a sterling silver bracelet that's, you know, $800. It's expensive. But it's mostly the jewelry that's expensive, but it does have a frequency generator built right into the bracelet.
That's beautiful, though.
You're
wearing jewelry, and you're, you know, protecting your body and yourself at the same time. Listen, people spend $1 million in a ring that doesn't do anything for you.
That's true, exactly. So I guess from a jewelry perspective, it's not that expensive, but I, you know, they're a bit pricey, and
that's on your website as well, the chiorganizer.com website.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of the different models, and you know, we've got one for the car, we've got one to plug into the computer, we've got one to, you know, for the house. They're all different ways to go about it. But if you have, obviously, if you have the jewelry one and you're wearing it all the time, you don't have to have all the other ones. But then,
all the time. Yes.
But for the whole house one, if you've got a big family, you can do the whole house at the same time and everybody gets the benefit. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's a great, interesting field, and they can get more information there. And it's just been a real pleasure. I think we will have to do another show at some time on meditation, because that is one of my favorite subjects.
Yeah,
and it all fits.
And
all
I want to learn. Yes, yes, and I want to learn. So we'll have to do that. Don is heading back to Bali, and I'm also going to come visit. He and his wife have a really nice resort in Bali, and I plan to come and visit, because I'm definitely into meditation. I'm into, you know, all the, you know, the understanding all the, you know, to make your body work better and to be in better health. So I told Ilona that I'm gonna come visit you guys. So he's heading back to Bali.
Yep, next week. We've got about another week, and then we go back to Bali. And our resort is called Shambhala Oceanside Retreat. And you know, it's,
you
mostly,
spell that?
Shambhala is Shambhala, Shambhala Oceanside Retreat and Spa. Mm-hmm. And we also have a Shambhala Spa in another town in Ubud. But our resort is up on the north shore of Bali. And we mostly host groups for meditation and yoga and different things like that. But we are open to single guests too. When there, as long as there's space, people, single guests can come and stay as well. But it's kind of a wellness retreat center,
Well, that's what I want. I want to go to a wellness retreat.
Well, that's going to be fun.
I'm going to come and visit for sure. Well, listen, Don, it's been a pleasure. I absolutely enjoyed our conversation today. I learned a lot more than our first round, because I know the first round was basically just setting it up and giving the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And all that, but today I learned a lot of things that I am doing wrong, that I need to change myself in my life. So I'm sure that our audience has been listening with bated breath, and, you know, like I said, their mind has been expanded. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about this issue. Because it is something that's affecting every single one of us. So it's amazing. And yes, I will have you back. You'll have to call me from Bali. But yes, I'll definitely have you back to talk about meditation. Because like I said, it is the new hot topic. Everybody is meditating. And even my sister said to me, can you show me how to meditate? And basically what I did, I just send her some meditation from YouTube. That's what I do every day. But so yes, we'll definitely have you back to talk about the benefits of meditation, how to meditate, and definitely chakras, because now I understand that's extremely important to the energy field in your body. So I want to thank you guys all for tuning in. Remember to subscribe to the podcast, rate and review, so I can continue bringing you these fabulous guests every week. and so that you can expand your consciousness and live your best life now. So, Don, thanks again. And
thank
we will
you
talk
so much,
again
Myrna.
Soon. You're very
okay,
welcome.
Awesome. All right.
Namaste.
Bye-bye. Namaste.